I've been Alex.
Hello,
I've been Alex.
Malik Cadre.
Do I start again because I talked to Olivia?
Yeah, you are going to talk over me. That's fine.
Try again. I didn't even interrupt you. I just talked to you. It's different.
Yeah, we're still a link card, right? We're still a podcast. I'm not going to say what kind of podcast because if you're listening, you know. We rant, we ramble. Occasionally miniatures are involved. And sometimes even dice or cards.
Miniatures? What kind of? What's your miniature choice this week, Alex? Is it a nice single malt or...
Hang on. That kind of miniature. We don't go for that. We go for the full bottle. Come on.
Well, you said miniature. I was like, I would go for the full bottle myself. I've got a nice bottle of Highland Park sat in the kitchen. It's just, I can't even put it in the cupboard. I've tried. It fights back. It won't go in the cupboard.
I have several bottles of port that are sitting downstairs in the cellar, just waiting the moment where I feel a little bit of weakness. And, yes, we'll go no further with that suggestion.
Oh, I have just realized I haven't done the recycling yet, and there's a ton of cider cans in my recycling box I need to sort out. Whoops, I need to do that before going to bed. Never mind.
This show's already become a public service.
It has.
So, okay. Between us, we thought that this week might be an interesting time, as there's been a new book release, although I don't think we've read... a new book yet.
A new book?
Yes, the new War Machine Compendium thing. Vengeance.
Compendium?
Yeah, it's Compendium. It's got Ludo and chess, and then it kind of...
It's got lots of other collected rules, including the Harlequins.
Backgammon, and you've got like Snakes and Ladders in there as well. Maybe
it's got rules for Harlequins in it. And Stainless Readers.
You're going back a while there.
I know! I saw it the other day, I found it upstairs.
Interestingly enough, I almost resorted to quoting the rules for the Harlequin's Kiss in an argument about exoteric weapons the other day. But that's a side point. Good. Where was I going with this? That was it.
War Machine.
Well, yes. New book, War Machine. I don't think any of us have read the Vengeance fluff yet, but I thought it was now time to maybe have a discussion about one of the things that a lot of people say is the driving force behind some of their gaming, and that is fluff. Now, basically every miniatures company out there has some form of background for the game that explains the sheer craziness that they've created and want to put on the table.
Sometimes written well after the fact of actually creating it.
Well, yes. I mean, sometimes it is the leading force. I mean, I think with War Machine, it almost certainly was the leading force for the game because there were bits and pieces of fluff floating around.
Well, it was role-play.
It was an RPG first, wasn't it?
Universe.
That Behind Kingdoms RPG and Witchfire Trilogy that was published before.
It was. Yep, Witchfire Trilogy was the first Iron Kingdoms release.
Rax had the first copy of it in the UK, I heard.
Maybe not the first copy in the UK.
I did actually pick up the Witchfire Trilogy for something like $5 in a PP sale at one point. And basically, as soon as it arrived, Nick borrowed it off me, and I've not seen it since.
Shock.
Yes, I'm going to get that back off him before he moves it to Edinburgh or Glasgow or some grand Scottish place.
With a girl in it.
Back of these things. Frankly, it's north of Middlesbrough. It's all just one sort of generic, unintelligible mass of people. Please don't be offended by that.
With a girl in it.
Yes. Where was I? Fluff. Yes. So one of the other things that sparked this for me was that I've recently started rereading one of the kind of the most well-known pieces of fluff novels out there, which is the Gaunt's Ghosts series.
That I'd never heard of.
You've never heard of it, which kind of surprises me because
I've heard of Dan Abnett and I've heard of like the series of the Space Marine novels, but I never really looked at the Imperial Guard ones.
Okay. Well, it was the first of the Black Library novels.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Everything before that was something, Heretic Press or something along those lines. But it was the first of the Black Library because there was Gaunt's Ghosts, Into the Maelstrom, and another one.
Oh, good. The other one's particularly good.
Eye of Terror. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they did three at the same time. And they've kind of spiraled on from there. And I've this evening looked up how many Gaunt's Ghosts novels there are.
An insane volume.
Yeah. The series has been going for 15 years, so it's getting pretty long. But, no, I just thought it'd be interesting. You know, Would you say that the fluff has played... Well, let's start with you, Alex. Would you say the fluff has played a large part in your gaming to date?
It's quite a difficult question to answer. I don't think that I would play a game necessarily for the fluff, but then again, I would play a game for the models in that game, and to a degree, the models are part of the fluff. So it's a tough kind of question to answer. I don't think I'm directly influenced by a particular sort of like, oh, there's this story's really cool, I want to play this game because of it, but, you know, that setting's cool, I like that setting, I'll play it because of that. It's kind of more view it for myself, at least.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of, I suppose the art direction does really hinge off the fluff to a certain extent. But I mean, I know I certainly, when playing, I've kind of got into a game, I've thought, oh yeah, this is a good game. And then I've read up a bit about it and gone, that's a cool character, I want to play that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, in that sense, yeah.
Almost regardless of the rules, you want to try and shoehorn your favourite thing onto Taylor, because like, this is cool, I read about this, it's got an awesome story, but, you know, this is fantastic. And go from there. Sometimes makes your gaming suffer a bit, but, you know, what the hell.
If you enjoy it, go for it.
Well, yeah. I think this is especially true with some people in the War Machine casters, because generally people tend to find kind of one or two that they identify with.
True, definitely.
And then start playing them on the table a lot.
I think the fluff helps maintain interest. It might be something else that brings you to a game, but fluff is what helps keep you in the game and maintain that interest and keep you playing it, keep you going back. And some of the sillier kind of bits of, certainly of War Machine Hordes, are part of that for me.
Yeah, what he said.
Well, I think with War Machine Hordes, when you're looking at those big sort of the expansion books, there's only ever, you know, 16 or so pages of actual rules. You know, the actual physical text boxes with numbers in and saying things like, you know, the spell list and so on. The rest is, you know, the ongoing story of the world, then the stories of the individual sort of factions as you flick through the book, and then, you know, it kind of drills down even deeper to the story of that one particular model, or, you know, how the caster went from being normal to the epic version.
Seems to be a similar theme in the more recent GW books too.
Does it?
Having bought the recent 40k rule book, which is a ridiculous tome that you could actually build a house out of, and bought the Tyranid Codex. The Tyranid Codex is laid out in a similar fashion. There's lots of fluff, lots of background, all the different waves of invading. So it's not moving the story forward. Well, there's a bit more than you had before, but it's, instead of, I suppose, previous Tyranid Codexes, I probably missed the one before, but previous Tyranid Codexes were perhaps a different wave of ships each time. So you had Leviathan, and you had, I don't know what they're all called, I can't remember now.
I know was it Leviathan, Kraken, and Behemoth?
Yeah, Kraken, then Leviathan were the two sort of lot. And they were kind of, for each one of those, there was a new book. That was kind of the excuse for a new codex, kind of, not that I needed one anyway, but this one incorporates all of it. Anyway, each wave is listed, documented.
Excuses to pump out another book.
Yeah, and this is the fluff of all of those waves of invasions, and then there are special characters in Tyranids now, so going through details about them, and the new enhancements and all the fluff, and then you get to the back and you finally find the rules.
Well, 40k has always been a bit of a weird one for fluff, because it's
the same story over and over again.
Well, no, not even that. It's not set at any one point in the 41st millennium, because if you take a look, I mean, you've got the old Imperial Guard codexes had one of them had Commissar Gaunt and Commissar Yarrick.
You remember Yarrick?
Yeah, both as playable characters. Yarrick's famous campaigns were apparently 160 years after Gaunt's campaigns.
Yarrick's was anti-orcs, wasn't it? Yarrick was all that orcs? Yeah.
They're for the second and third battles of Armageddon or something like that.
Yeah, Armageddon.
So the whole thing there was that they could kind of pick and choose, like, yeah, for this version of the book, we're going to pick on this point in time or tell this particular story, which is, I don't know, potentially very freeing when you're doing that kind of storytelling. Privateer are kind of, I don't want to say bogged down, but they have to kind of keep the story trundling along.
Yeah.
But the story is what generates the new models, or the models generate the story. That's part of what the appeal is that each race is developing and changing, and the more things are coming along. And there are always new things. There are new things in 40K, but it's a lot of it's rehashing of an old idea or something else. Whereas this is kind of whole new races, excuse me, whole new wings of a faction, perhaps, parts of a faction.
Well, I mean, there was the idea with things like the release of Strakov, where because he was, you know, the Black Ops Special Forces, that was why you'd not heard of him till now, because he wasn't kind of part of the regular cast. He was off on his own doing stuff. As you see in one of his stories, I mean, one of the first stories where he appears... He appears as, you know, not to spoil it, if you haven't caught up with.
He appears naked with a loincloth and a samurai sword.
Yes. No, not quite. He appears as a Signar Warcaster.
Was that something in Bushido I was thinking of?
It could be anything in Bushido. The jump over and hit us in a moment.
He's not even biting at all. It's no fair.
I know, it's terrible. But no, Strakov turns up as, first of all, as a Signar Warcaster, trying to kind of bluff his way through some Signar fortifications. So you couldn't have this guy be well known before that point, because that whole ruse wouldn't have worked. So
yeah, you get newly promoted casters and newly promoted warriors and soldiers and stuff is kind of primarily how they do things. The story moves on as a whole, and somebody gets. That's how epics are kind of used and explained. The characters developed and changed.
I think it's part of where they're going with the whole thing of bringing in the junior warcasters now as well.
I suppose, yeah, they could bring them in. Then,
the next generation to follow, which it's an interesting route to go down, and it certainly gives them lots of scope. It's just eventually they are going to have to give in and kill someone off.
Yay!
I know they've killed people off before, but it's been things like, oh, Baldur's dead, next book, actually he's not. Whoop, Harbinger's dead. Nah, just kidding. Whoop, Denny's dead. We sewed her back together.
Why don't they flood all of Crix? That would be quite good, wouldn't it?
What?
While they're about it, Signar as well.
But isn't that one valley that the trolls wanted? I mean, if you're going to flood anywhere, then that one valley would just have like four trolls looking sadly at the top as it filled up with water.
They're not there anymore. They got kicked out. We fell out with Signar. Signar, a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, but they probably might want to go back.
Bloody storm walls and stupid storm walls. And
we don't talk about storm wall. It's just no good. It's heartbreaking to play against.
Stupid storm wall.
Never was a truer sentiment made.
See, that storm wall is stupid. Why is it stupid? I don't know why. It is just stupid.
Does it horrendous look, lesson. Actually, if you look at it, it's you know, if you were in that world, what you'd notice was that on the tabletop it looks fine, but in the real world, when you look at it, it's actually cross-eyed.
How come it shoots so well then?
Ah, well, that's the Warcaster doing it for it.
Oh, see, right. That's just cheating.
Whereas Cador Warjacks still don't realise they actually have guns. They just think there's a second axe there. They're always really surprised when it goes boom.
Stupid Stormwall. Moving on.
Yes. I mean, you can actually kind of tell for most games that the devotion some people actually have to the fluff by the amount of arguments people get into.
Yeah.
These rules obviously do not fit the fluff, and I demand this is changed immediately so that it reflects the fluff. And then a whole
these rules for Signar don't fit the fluff because Signar should be rubbish. That's where I'm coming from.
They should move into the deployment zone and then immediately all have to take command checks, otherwise they run away. Because
absolutely.
The favourite direction of Signar is backwards. We all know that.
They are quite a backward race, it's true.
Anyone who's been reading the fluff knows this already.
I haven't read it.
I mean, there are some games out there that do kind of... You've got your kind of your rich level of fluff, which is your 40k, Warhammer, War Machine, Hordes... I'm going to say Malifaux as well, because that's got a hell of a lot of story content out there.
I've not read it, but I've heard that, yeah. We better say that, Conrad, I'd be upset.
So, no, that's got a lot of story content. They actually have an organised monthly writing competition for it as well. So,
do they?
Yeah, so on their forums, you're given an item from the world, a line to say somewhere in your story, and, like, one other random thing, and then...
Oh, my God, you can't put that sausage in there. Got a line.
And then you've kind of got a month to write a story in the world that involves those things. And they just do a rolling competition. I think it's called Iron Quill. That's got a fairly rich base of fiction to work off. And I think, you know, those are kind of your big games. But then you work down, and not to belittle them, you've got stuff like...
Spartan.
Say, see, we're both with the same one there.
Yeah, Spartan.
And
well, they got Craig, didn't they? Craig See, I wanted to Rebel Horde. That's bad.
That's really bad.
Craig, that was previously of D6 generation, or sometimes still is. I haven't listened to that in ages, but he did some fluff for them. But it was very much, here are the races for Dystopian, here, la, la. Oh, by the way, here's the fluff that we've written around what was already correct. Because it wasn't mutually driven. That was, here are the models and the scenery. Here's the models of the universe. And then they made everything up and surrounded it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've got the, I don't know which version. I think it's 1.2 or 1.1 book. And there's a couple of pages on each faction. So you're going to read and go, okay, this is how this universe is different to ours. Okay. But I always felt as though, because the game was fun, as it was, but it never really kind of fully drew me in.
I'd like to get more into it. I don't really know anybody who plays it that much. I know that Spartan's not really very far from me at all. I've just never really got into it.
You could probably buy a starter fleet, walk up to the door and go, excuse me, does anyone fancy a game? And they'll go, yeah. No, because we developed it and now hate the system.
No, they play games. They do kind of Friday afternoon gaming, I think, from what I've heard.
I was going to say, incidentally, they haven't just released version 2 of the Dystopian Wars rule set. I might have to look it up and see if they've simplified some of the stuff in there, because that hurt my mind when I was playing it last time. Some of the rules for anti-aircraft fire, just my brain broke.
I like the game. I've got some Uncharted Seas, as I almost certainly said before, but just don't play it. I do like the idea of Dystopian. But again, I'm not familiar with the fluff. I know there are races and roughly when it's set kind of thing, but I'm not reading in the fluff. And they bring rule books that kind of lead you into reading the fluff. That's almost kind of, that's where GW and Privateer, where they brought out one book that's got it all in that you kind of, yeah. You know.
Well, the thing is, for Dystopian Wars, the rule book is not the massive, expensive tome you get from other places. It is a 12 quid, I don't know what to compare it to, really.
Slapback, aren't they?
Yeah, it's. I hate to go for the comparison again, but you know the third edition codexes for 40K?
Yeah. It's just fallen over in shock.
No, it's like two of those kind of stapled together, that kind of level of thickness. They're not huge. They're very nicely done, you know, they've got a good look to them, and once they've got the first couple of editions out of the way, they become relatively clear.
I think it says with Dystopian Wars, none of the races really drew me in particularly as being sort of unique. I do like Britannia.
But is that from a fluff point of view, an artistic point of view?
Artistic point of view, because I've never read the fluff.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they have artistically tried to define them all. So you've got your American paddle steamers, and the Japanese ones all look like bullet trains.
Yeah.
The German ones look like the Bismarck. There really is no other way of saying it. They do just look like the Bismarck.
Yeah.
British ones, I never could really nail down what look they
were. There was some weird thing of, I quite liked it, but they had like the Paul's Cathedral slapped on the top of half the buildings, half the big tanks.
That was the land ships. You get weird bits like
I liked it though, and almost like bits of the Houses of Parliament on other bits, on other big trunk constructs, and a lot of the boats had a very kind of early tank. All the tanks were very much like early British tanks.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is the early tanks were called land ships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for the British, when we were designing tanks, they went to the Land Ship Commission. And that's the whole theory of why, even up to World War II, Britain had tanks that were called cruisers. Because for some reason, someone at the Ministry of Defence had decided that instead of developing tactics for mobile armour, what we would do is we would use 18th century naval tactics.
Wow.
It should be all about things having like broadsides and cruisers going out, and it was some wacky, wacky stuff. Then they realised that, oh yeah, if we have cruiser-style tanks, they don't have enough armour, so the Germans just blow them up. I mean, just wacky, wacky times. Oh, very interesting to read about that, if you ever get to that point.
Which I wasn't aware of that. I should have took a bit of a read of that at some point.
Yeah, just look at a British class of tank called the Cruiser, and how that didn't make it too far into World War II. So, I mean, that is a whole thing as well to consider. I mean, you do have all these historical games out there, which kind of have, it feels weird to say it, but they do have that pre-made fluff of history.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a load of sort of, you know, plenty of World War II games out there. You've got your Flames of War and your Bolt Action and countless homebrew systems. So yeah, they're kind of their own. Have either of you played any historicals?
Secrets of the Third Reich, if you can kind of call that.
Does that really count? Come on.
Spider tanks were real. I've done modern history. There were spider tanks everywhere.
Yeah,
that's Dust Tactics levels of realism.
And Tesla cores were widely used in the Second World War.
See, now I'm going back to dystopian wars and their weird the Germans having Tesla coils and all that.
Well, Antarctica got more, haven't they?
Do they have Tesla cars?
I thought they did. Look that way.
I know they've got infinitely respawning fighters, which are just as egregiously horrendous. Yeah, I can't remember if they're having Tesla cars. I know the French have weird things like heat lances and stuff like that. It is a weird...
Last time I seriously looked at it, there was one French cruiser. That was it.
Oh, no, they went back and did a
whole... I know, I've heard, but...
The worst thing was, it wasn't in the rule book, so I couldn't look up any of the rules when I was playing against someone with the French fleet. I just had to take their word for it. It's like, yep, that's what that weapon does. Oh, my ship's dead? Fantastic. But then again, that battle ended very sadly because I just had a giant squid that cruised underneath the entire enemy fleet and then ate its flagship. it was fun. Yeah. But I do still like the... what are they called? The Empire of the Blazing Sun mecha squid. The whole idea that it just kind of toddles around under the water with bombers trying to hit it and nothing happening. And then it just appears to go blah, and swallow a ship whole. It's nice.
It's a good start. I like it. That was real, wasn't it, as well? That was another one that was based on reality.
Oh, it was real, wasn't it? Yeah.
We appear to have had someone join our conversation.
How's that happened?
I have no idea.
Jordan's gate crashed.
What happened?
You pressed the button, didn't you?
It's doing bad British accents as well.
No.
No.
No, because then I would talk like this. Then I would have a bad British... Okay, I'm not even going to stop you.
Why do I feel like I put up the wrong link to this?
You really did, because I'm able to join this completely.
Oh, did you put out an invite link to everyone?
Yeah, he did.
Whoops.
Well done, that man.
So if you're listening now...
Why am I listening to Julie Cadre? I'm like, all right, I'll just click it and see what they're talking about. And then it's like, you're about to join a Google Hangouts. Okay, click. Okay, I can talk too. Interesting.
You were all cunts. Yeah.
Let's just fix that, shall we?
La 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 cunts?
La 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 cunts.
I think what you mean is la 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 esports athlete.
Terrible people.
Esports athlete. He hasn't had to do editing on his show for months now.
You're welcome for gate crashing and at least being someone vaguely entertaining. Ha! Never mind.
At least someone we've heard of.
Well, that's true. It'd be interesting if it was just a random person.
Like,
well,
it could have been Kev Bryant.
It could have been Kev Bryant. It could have been Kev Bryant. Then you would have had a very terrible time.
I'm looking at his picture, actually, because he did a post a few days ago on Lost Hemisphere.
Did he? Oh, God.
He did. Best
I'm
avoided.
Completely out of War Machine right now. I haven't been in the community at all.
So you ran at home in this podcast, then?
Of course.
Yeah, this is the podcast for you.
Why am I here again?
You did it voluntarily. Nobody even asked you.
Yeah.
You have That's only true. Yourself to blame.
That's true.
I weep for the children.
Well, they're your children, so...
That's just true.
I expect some child support. Lots of it.
You expect child
Money
support.
Money should be spent.
So, Jordan, what's your view on fluff in wargaming?
Oh, did I actually come in the middle of a podcast conversation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. my view of fluff in wargaming?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I always find it interesting. I love having a backstory for something. I mean, it doesn't actually change the outcome of a game. However, like, in terms of giving the game some meaning, I like it. I don't know.
Well, you say it doesn't change the outcome of a game. Has it ever influenced your choices for the start of a game?
Definitely. Like, tier lists. Tier lists are completely fluff-based, right? So...
Call tier lists. Jordan.
Whatever.
Don't get Mike angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Well...
Theme list, tier what? Tier, oh, sorry.
No, it's theme force, which allows you to select an army that has tiers within it.
So, theme forces... I mean, like, I've run tier lists before, so... I don't know. Like, I don't think it's like the end all be all, but it definitely provides a reason for the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't actually mean to be informative. I just meant to come in here and be an asshole. But...
You could
You're Canadian, so you do that without trying.
Hey. That's true.
Hey, I'm a nicer guy.
I wasn't going to get
that. Did we get Italian? What happened?
To be fair, it's Alex. Whenever he does an accent, it is literally a roll a D100 and see what country you come up with.
I love that even I have my own picture as a face in this Google Hangout thing. And then you get Mike, who's got like an Xbox Live avatar thing, whatever the hell that is.
You know that my photo is older than you, Jordan, don't you?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I changed my Facebook post picture to one that I quite liked. Oh. And my brother-in-law gave me shit over it, going, you know, put a picture on Facebook supposed to be a current picture. You're using just for men or something in that before you had that photo taken or something. Otherwise, it's not a very recent picture. You've got hair and everything. I'm like, shut up.
Hey, Mike, did you delete that tweet yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I just retweet it right now, it won't do anything?
Yeah, well, it'll work.
That's funny.
If you retweet it, people. I mean, you've only got about 4 or 5 followers, haven't you, Jordan?
I don't know. Something like that.
6.
164. When the fuck did I get 164 followers on Twitter? Who are you people? Why are you following me? I'm useless. I don't understand.
Anyway. Well, at least you admit it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, I'm not sure where the 500-odd following me come from, and Kurt's probably up to about 2,000 now.
No, I stopped around 700.
Kurt's a Twitter whore, though, so... And you're,
well, I
see,
was.
See, here, how about this? Here's the real determining factor is, do you have more followers than you are following? Mike, that's a lie, you don't.
Oh, no, I don't. I follow over 600 people.
Yeah. See, that's the key, because then you're Twitter famous, you see?
My figures are 515 followers, 354 following.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I think he made those numbers up.
I bought them.
Okay. I have 148 following and 164 followers. I don't know how that happens, but...
So you're claiming that at some point you said something interesting and people have just decided to follow you?
I guess. I don't know. I mean...
So there have been many touchdowns in the hockey tonight.
Oh, dude. Hockey was last night. Actually, there's more hockey. It starts in 2 hours.
Yeah. Playoffs. What?
Yeah, man. Habs are up 3-0 at the time of this recording.
The Habs, that's the Canadians, isn't it? Montreal
Les
Canadiens.
Les Habitants Canadiens, yes.
Why Montreal are they Canadiens? Called the Habs? Because I know they are called the Habs, but
I
why?
Literally just said Les Habitants Canadiens, so they call them the Habs.
Oh, okay. Because
they're
they
French.
Habitate in Canada.
Yeah.
Is that a reference to Marie Antoinette?
No.
Just checking.
Okay.
Right.
Well, now that I've derailed this podcast completely, you're welcome, by the way.
If you want to be a random jump-in guest for the podcast, let us know. We've got you the bird as well.
And to be fair, these are the people we've put on air before.
I mean,
Jordan included.
Nick. You had Nick. Nick was a host.
We don't
Nick
talk
was,
about
Nick was the owner of the podcast for about a day and a half.
In his mind's eye, it lasted a lot longer.
It did.
Of course.
You just had to go there, didn't you?
So, yes. So I found a security breach, and Mike is trying to patch it, and did patch it.
And you deleted
this is my personal life. I'm much
it's not really that much of a or a fix. I appear to have posted the wrong link. Oh well. I'll just link to my YouTube page next time.
What can I do? What can I do to mess this up more? Hold on. I can add effects.
Have you got a dashboard of racist like 70s? Oh shit. Race of 70s kind of British BBC humour that's quite racist.
Oh, wow.
No, it didn't come up, damn.
If I click on his name, I can't either mute him or eject him. This already has advantages from Skype.
Except, I don't give a shit if you eject me.
Well, that's true. You are just here randomly. You're thinking,
it's true.
I know. I'll listen to some radio. Let's see what absolute crud they're spouting. Why am I there?
It was more of a, I was genuinely curious about the topic you guys were talking about.
Well, there we go. And now you know what it is, and you've been part of it, and you've contributed to the
whether you liked it or not.
I was a participant in some way.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Are you playing any kind of games at the moment, Jordan?
Am I playing? No, I was studying. I'm in the middle
no,
of
no, in not in kind of a general right at that time sense, but in a more within your life as a whole at the moment.
Oh,
he's being
no.
responsible.
Well, he's having a baby.
Yeah, of course.
This is just getting weird now as a conversation.
No, I haven't played anything in like, I think, when was the last time I was on this podcast? Like, last time you guys did a podcast? Like, 6 months ago?
Harsh, probably
true.
Fair.
Not
true.
Far off, though.
I think the answer is about the same as when it was there. I haven't played a game since. I mean, I play, like, video games, but that doesn't count.
I'm trying to think what you even talked about the last time we were on the podcast. It's kind of...
Scorn? I remember there was something to do with Scorn.
Yes.
Something to do with the Animatrix being amazing.
It's still shit! It's still shit! I don't care what anybody says!
If only we could get Chris Cawthorn on the show.
Chris, I'm sorry,
he runs
it's still
on a Monday
shit.
Night, doesn't he? I think.
Yeah. He does things... He has this thing called a life.
Yeah, but see, now we could just send him the link, and then while he's running, he could be talking in Google Hangouts.
Actually, fair, if he has a decent mobile phone, he can join in.
Yeah, no problem.
It would be the most energetic War Machine podcast ever recorded.
I'm not sure he could... That's really manageable. I mean, think about just walking and talking on a podcast, let alone running.
And it would probably improve the average microphone quality of most of our conversations.
Certainly when Alex is involved, yes.
I don't know, Kurt, you quite often sound like you're underwater.
That depends if I start clicking buttons, so I'm not at the moment. High-speed broadband, July.
Oh my God, are you still talking about this green box that's got no cables in at the end of your road?
Damn right.
So... Wait. So what kind of internet do you guys have? I'm curious.
I have.
Like, what's your up and down?
I have 1.5 meg down if on a good day.
Oh my God, that's so fucking bad. Okay.
I know. But I have a green box in the road with no cables in, as Mike accurately pointed out. But a colleague of mine surreptitiously got hold of the wholesale install spreadsheet. We worked out which box it is on the which number box it is on the list, and found out it's going to go live in July.
All right.
Meanwhile, here's
50
meg down.
30 meg at that point.
Okay.
Up to 60, but, you know.
There's not bad. That's what I meant. I have 45 down and 15 up, which is pretty good for Canada. But, like, man, Google Fiber, I wish. It's down in the States. I wish it was here.
See, we actually have Alex here who's still working off a tin can and a bit of string to the local exchange. So,
proud of it too.
He's just very sad. And
talking.
Pardon?
Riveting conversation.
Talking. It's good radio.
Yeah, we're all having conversations to try and talk over him at the same time. It's working very well. However, I think, at this point, our conversation, unless someone's got a pertinent point to make, our conversation on fluff may have run a little dry.
Maybe.
I can't think of it there to say.
So I think we can probably go for a little bit of a break. We'll see you all on the other side. Welcome back. We're here for the second half of the show now.
Less Canadian.
Yes, quite. He's been ejected, literally, through the roof. We're going to go straight into what's going to be a sort of...
Oh. Sorry, I dropped something.
Well, we're used to your girlish squeaks as you drop things.
I dropped it. It's clear everywhere.
Oh, God. We thought we'd expand the painting table, as it were, because, you know, it has always partially been about other things as well. But now it's going to expand to include what we're actually doing gaming-wise at the moment as well. So, let's start with Alex. You can't really say it, so what's on your painting table, but...
What's all that noise? I think it's the better...
What's all that noise?
That's horribly 90s. What's going on with you in the hobby at the moment?
Sadly, not a lot, really. Definitely not War Machine-wise, anyway.
But we've seen something pop up on your painting table on Twitter.
Yes, well, there was a couple of strange alien creatures lurking on my desk.
Which may or may not be plant-related.
May or may not be plant-related. Related to spores.
Yes.
What have you, but...
I may or may not have big, melty faces.
Well, not for
I will never forgive GW for that change. after.
What changes that?
The change in the orcs. Did you not see the whole design change in their design philosophy?
Oh yeah, well yeah, there's a big change in the design philosophy, but it's just I wouldn't go as far as saying it's just the faces though.
Well, the second, third edition change where they went
very cartoony.
Well, they went very brown, so very much more. They went more towards the old image of the feral orcs, sort of, you know, lots of brown leathers and everything like that, combined with the weird kind of droopy lower jaw thing. No, weren't the only one that's...
They did. Yeah, they were sued, weren't they? It was part of that, wasn't it?
Were they?
There was a potential Tolkien kind of lawsuit or something, wasn't there? Or was there some kind of just about establishing their own copyright, perhaps? Maybe it was more advice around that.
I know there was a point where either they or someone else took an RPG author to court over orcs, which is why in one RPG they are literally labelled as lovely, big, green, uncopyrightable orcs.
Nice.
Because as long as they have a C in the name, they're fine.
Yeah.
But it's GW with the K in the name that's the...
When you put a C involved in orcs, it gets a bit offensive anyway, doesn't it?
Yes. Anyway,
that's allegedly the reason behind the change of name for Imperial Guard.
Yes.
You can't copyright the words Imperial Guard yet.
Because that would be...
Adeptus or Astra Militarium Marius or whatever.
Astra Militarum, which, as myself and Jonathan Pickles have discussed, they've got the endings on the words the wrong way around. So rather than being the military of the stars, they are the stars of the military.
Fantastic. They're famous in that.
Yes. It's kind of like stars in your eyes, but for the Imperial Guard.
And tonight, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be Commissar Yarrick.
Or another voice, perhaps. So, yeah, any of those kind of get famous kind of, I can't remember what they're called now.
Yeah. Talent shows?
That's the word, yeah.
There we go.
So, Alex, Imperial Guard talent shows.
What are you doing with your orcs?
I'm mainly at the minute just building stuff, to be honest with you. I've dug out an old Neiman Rust that I had sitting around doing not a lot, and I've slowly been kind of working on that, turning it into a looted wagon. So I'm doing some of that tonight, adding bits on and chopping bits off, as you do.
Is this part of your plan to make an orc truck that can fit sort of like almost infinite orcs into it?
No.
You know, hollow out a Neiman Rust, make a kind of bucket on tracks.
Put some sort of walkways around the outside edge with a rail.
I can transport 40 boys in this one wagon, it's fine.
It's not WYSIWYG. It's not as many boys as you... It's not Gork and Walker. Gork and Walker used to be as many boys as you can fit in your wagon.
I think Mark 1 rules, one of the series of Mark 1 rules on the wagon was pretty much as many as you could fit on them without falling off.
Yeah, but falling off...
The model falls off, it's dead.
Sorry, wasn't 40k what?
The rules for 40k falling off vehicles was awful. Like if an orc went off a wagon going over like medium speed, it was like, well, that orc dead then.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing that made, was it Ogryns and Chimeras? I feel like I've gone into a different sidetrack here.
Yeah, have your own conversation there.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded good though.
Is there any plan with these orcs, Alex? Are you planning to get some games in with them? Or?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Just a bit of a change.
Didn't think you were just playing games in where you just painted stuff or half painted stuff and left it on ramp?
Pretty much. That's pretty much it. And possibly what will happen to these orcs, but we'll wait and see, I think.
What he's going to do is he's going to paint 90% of all of them and then start painting the rest and go, nah. And just constantly end up stripping the head on all of them.
Yeah,
all
out plastic, one. So I can't do that.
You can?
You strip the plastic.
Power spray.
Paint off plastics?
Fairy power spray.
I think there is a limit to how much you can do with it before the plastic starts going a bit melty.
I've tried oven cleaner and it does. The plastic gets a bit flaky underneath it and dusty.
Fair enough. Mm. Okay, cool.
Want some pledge then if it gets a bit dusty? I think that's quite good for dusty.
Indeed.
Are we now just talking about household products that can be used on models?
Maybe.
Yeah. If your War Machine templates are getting a bit scratched and you can't really see what's underneath, just get the T-cut, a little buff right out.
Also, Pringles lids make fantastic 3-inch AOEs.
James Brown using bits of squash bottles.
What for?
3-inch AOEs and clouds.
The lids of squash bottles?
No, not lids of squash bottles. Been cutting the bottoms off squash bottles.
What, before he's drunk them?
No, after. Presumably after. I have
them. Yeah, but what if the squash bottle is square?
Well, then obviously it's not a 3-inch template, is it?
Yeah, you can like Robinson's, the big Robinson's bottles that are square.
You're either putting too much or nothing of thought into this argument.
What about if you use little fruit shoot bottles?
Yeah, they're not 3-inch. Way too small. He's not thought this out. He's really not thought this out.
James, sort it out. It's not clear.
Have a word with him. Just knock on your window and have a word with him, Kev.
Yeah. I'm pretending not in.
just getting weird now. Anyway.
I find that the little the AoE symbols are quite good for AoEs, with the little direction markers and things on them as well.
Yeah, if you can, I believe you can buy them from Privateer Press as well.
I've heard that. Other people make them as well, yeah.
So, Alex, have you got any other models that you've been working on, or any other games you've been playing recently?
There's been a bit of a resurgence at our local club of Firestorm Army. You were talking, obviously, to Stoking Wars before. I was going to chime in then, but you kind of take over the conversation yourselves. But, yeah, so I've been playing a little bit of that recently, because as well as Dystopian Wars having a second edition, so has Faster Armada previously, not so long ago, got a refresh with a second edition, which is...
Firestorm's one of the ones they've kept as a core product, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very popular in certain circles, particularly, yeah.
Well, they've shuffled, Uncharted Seas off into their kind of, their equivalent of specialist games.
Yeah.
And they're concentrating on just Firestorm and Dystopian, think.
Yeah.
Oh, I did hear someone saying that they've dropped some of the products for Dystopian Legions as well, and the whole idea they were having of having a Firestorm ground thing as well.
That's coming.
Well, I know it's coming, but it's a lot delayed.
Because I think the Firestorm one is going to be kind of similar to
Dystopian.
Dystopian with a ground game, effectively. So not like a 28mm, more like a 6mm. Or...
It is, yeah. But they've done a 30mm Dystopian Wars models are coming out, aren't they?
They're already out. They've been out.
I thought they were 35.
Oh, nitpicking. Yes.
It's somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Dystopian Legions was around for a little while. I've not seen anything of it, so... Yeah.
Well, the idea with these orcs is to kind of use what I've got already, keep it nice and cheap, and then maybe build a force and have a few games. At least I don't think I'm not going for entry tournaments or power gaming with them. I just want to kind of maybe play a few games at a local club and, you know, have a bit of fun, do things the way I like the look of them, as opposed to what's going to be the best for the rules. And
well, when Mantic come up with the rules for you, you could also play their non-specific sci-fi game. Because I hear that has orcs with an X in it.
Orcs with an X.
Orcs with an X. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So their future war game that is not at all related to 40k in any way, shape, or form. Oh dear. Oh, Mantic. Anyway. So is that you done now, Alex? You good?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm got all I've got. Are you kidding me now?
Yes, we can hear you, don't worry.
Okay, I've said all I've got to say on that matter.
Okay. So, Kurt.
Hello.
How's your hobby life going?
Not bad. More so, I've played some X-Wing lately. Okay. I've actually been getting myself down to the Exeter Inquisition on a Tuesday night. 2 weeks in a row. I've never, ever managed to get down there 2 weeks in a row. So I've had a couple of games of War Machine. My Pharaoh have been splattered against the wall that is Signar a couple of times. Freaking Stormwall, see earlier comments. Or later, depending on which round Mike cuts the show. I can't remember if that'd be earlier or later. We did a rant about it anyway.
D6.
Yeah, quite enjoying getting Pharaoh and loving playing a bit, getting X-Wing. I don't know, I've had 3 games of X-Wing in the last week. I'm quite liking that.
You play with any of the new set, the Rebel Aces, or is that it?
Yeah, I've played 2 games with Rebel Aces in the last week. I really like Rebel Aces. I like 3 interceptors is quite handy. I quite like 800 points. Imperial Aces, yeah. Rebel Aces is not out, is it?
Yeah, I could never, to be honest, with Fantasy Flight stuff, it's like, this stuff's coming.
No, it all got pushed back to June, I think, is what I heard. Oh, June is kind of the ETA, if that's not the date they've given. Maybe it was Rob West's cynical date that he gave me.
to be honest, I can almost believe it, given the production so far of X-Wing. I mean, the models have always been spot on with what they're meant to be, and they look good, and they're
in
the box. And if they're
ever buggered to paint, though. They're buggered to paint, though. yeah, I think somebody...
It is a pre-painted system.
Oh, you're so mad.
Hey, I'm just pointing out this with useful consumer
advice. It is a pre-painted system. It's very nice. You get out of the box and you spend hours looking at it going, oh, it's done.
There's still people who repaint them.
Sorry?
There's still some people out there who repaint them.
There are. You can look on eBay and there are people going, I've painted these as the Rogue Squadron and I've painted all these as Sabre Squadron. And you're like, why?
Well, there are a lot of people who, before the Rebel Aces box set was even on the release date, they were painting and remodeling their A-wings with the blue prototype markings. And the amount of converted Falcons I've seen with like LEDs in the middle, or the cockpit moved centrally, or just other things like that. It's incredible the amount of work people are putting into what should be the laziest hobby system in the universe.
It is for me. It's very, I have a bit of black felt and the cardboard asteroids to get thrown in the middle of the table. Go, done.
You've not even gone to the effort of getting sort of a white can of paint and just splattering some over the surface of your black felt.
No, what I might do, I might buy the tiling board that Fantasy Flight are bringing out. That's quite cool. Like one side you've got Starfield or Nebulous, it's got Starfield, the other side you think you've got Death Star kind of surface. I was like, yeah, that'd be good. Tiled system to put down, that I'll go with.
Plus Rebel then Aces, you always know the board's the right size.
Sorry?
Plus then you always know the board's the right size.
Yeah, well, if you're both playing on the same size, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, true. But very often we plan 4x6s anyway, because we play sort of... They recommend 100 points for the average game of X-Wing, but we play over that quite a lot anyway.
I've been playing 100 points recently, but I have played 150 or even 200 points before. But I don't know, I've got a bit of a felt that it's 1 meter one way and I think 3 feet the other, so it's a bit longer than it is wide. But it doesn't matter if you're both on the same board. It doesn't matter, does it?
That's true. That's true.
So your Rebel Aces, I've been thoroughly enjoying playing with them, playing with the Imperial Guard, Emperor's Guard, whatever they're called. They're quite cool. Just push the limit on Turfaneer and
one that gives them those upgrades. And...
Yeah, it's lovely. Push the limit you got with A-wings, but you get two lots of it with the Imperial Aces. It's lovely. I just have lots of it, and I just maneuver the hell out of everything. It's all good. Pigs. I've got pigs on the table. I've been touching up my roadhogs.
Really?
As you glue in the tusks on.
Been touching up your pigs.
I've been touching up my pigs.
What cast?
Well, I had speeding ticket, so I thought I'd touch them up.
What cast are you playing for the pigs at the moment?
I've tried Midas. I want to get a bit more time with Midas. I'm really enjoying Arcadius. Did put some serious pressure on Nemo 3 with Arcadius last week. But it just, I pushed Arcadius too far up in order to put the pressure on and expose him too much, and yeah, he died. Only just is still dead.
I was going to say, that was always the problem with Arcadius. It's like, oh, a fraction of your base there. Oh, and you're playing Signar. Oh, this is going to be bad.
He just electrocuted him to death on all fronts. I think it was the last dice roll, but he had good margin. I think he rolled three over what he needed to. If he took two off of it or three off of it, then Arcadius would have been alive. And I had three Warhogs bearing down on the Stormwall, so it would have been quite good fun taking that out. And although Nemo probably wouldn't have died, everything around him would have been dead. So it was quite satisfying to get to that point, even though I did then die. And then I want to play a bit of... I want to try a bit of Sturm and Drang at some point, try and get the hang of them as well. So I think if I go down tomorrow night, I think the plan is to throw something at Butcher 3 and see how long I can live.
Just literally like a cricket ball, or...?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was going to take one of my shoes off.
A shoe? Who throws a shoe?
Well, I throw shoes at the children.
Oh my god, it's Alex with a movie reference.
With a what reference?
I'm presuming a movie reference anyway.
Shoe? Who throws a shoe? Yeah.
A shoe. It was a movie reference.
Oh dear.
Who throws a shoe?
Anyway, before we disappear up that bubbly sack.
Yeah, that's about this. That's about my gaming, really.
See, my gaming for the last few weeks has been... I've glued up some Tharn Blood Pack, which I should hopefully be using tomorrow. I don't know. I've got kind of a weird list that I plan to try, involving Boulder. So that could get funky. They're nice models, but every single mold line is in a... The arms that are pulling back the bowstrings, this is going to take some explanation, they've got armor along them, which has a raised edge, a recessed center, and then spikes coming out of it. The mold line is along one of the lines of spikes. And I just looked at it and went, you've got to be kidding me. This must be for a laugh. It's not on all of them. It's only on, like, every other one of these arms. So someone must have thought at some point that, yeah, if we put those two arms casting from different angles, they'll still be able to fit more into the mold. But it just makes them horrible to take the flash off. Other than that, really simple models to put together. Despite And there's a little bit of weirdness with the feet, in that you've kind of got the whole body from neck to ankles as a single piece, but then ankles and feet as a separate one, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, they went together really nicely. So.
They are a very bizarre kit to build. I've got them myself. And I've,
yeah.
Although I've not yet built them.
I'll be. Is it the same bodies as the Ravagers?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm going to have Ravagers. A look. I've got a box of the Ravagers out back to look at. Yeah, that could be interesting. What else? I've still got my 20 Lehman Russ sitting on the desk, just waiting for the rest of my epic to arrive. I've gone around about, I think, four different retailers now to get an Imperial Guard army together, which has been interesting.
Which version of epic are you going to play?
Epic Armageddon.
All right.
I was interested in this because I saw you post on Twitter a few times about this epic stuff you're getting. I take it it's not GW epic stuff you bought.
No, it's not official GW stuff.
Right.
It's a mix of, let me get this right, there's a company called Steel Crown Productions who...
Steel Crown or Steel Crown?
Steel Crown.
Steel Crown.
Steel Crown Productions, who they have a lot of very nice tanks. They've got some infantry, but it looks more marine than anything. Some good stuff for Tyranids as well.
Oh.
They've got some weird Eldar stuff as well, potentially.
What are they called?
Steel Crown Productions. I believe they're ExodusWars.com.
Oh, I've heard of Exodus Wars.
But that's where I've got kind of the bulk of my tanks, super heavies, stuff like that from.
ExodusWars.com, I got it.
Yeah, my walkers and some of my command staff I've got from Dark Realm Miniatures.
Oh, the Marines are awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Sisterhood of Athena. Oh.
Yeah, Steel Crown Productions also have some Sisters of Battle.
I've seen them. I'm looking at them, yeah.
Now, there is currently no official list, but there are some in testing.
They've got squats, because that's the Novan Mobile Command Center. Looks like the old Squat Colossus.
There are some interesting... I don't think they have...
Cyber Shadow Cyborgs. They're like squats.
See, now I've sent him off into a world of 6mm gaming.
I hate you.
If you can't find anything on there, then there is also Dark Realm Miniatures, who do a load of other 6mm, where I've got my walkers from. They've also got some very nice skimmer units and planes as well, so that's them. And for the infantry, I've actually gone to a historical company called Bacchus.
Okay.
And they are Bacchus 6mm, and they do some very nice British colonial forces.
Pith hats.
Yes, pith helmets. So I have... pith helmeted infantry
with knits. Sorry.
With Highlanders for the shock troops and some proper British Lancers for Rough Riders.
That's awesome.
So as long as you're willing to do a bit of shopping around in 6mm, you can find pretty much anything you want. I mean, there are also places like the Tactical Command forums where you can actually pick up pretty much anything you want secondhand. And a lot of people go, well, I've got a few spare stands of this if you're interested. And you can kind of do a bit of shopping around and stuff. So I've also got some stuff from a Kickstarter coming in. Well, not a Kickstarter, an Indiegogo coming in at some point, but I need to wait.
Okay.
So it's all slowly coalescing, and I've been reading through the rules and speaking to Dave, I think it's Dave Bartley on Twitter, who's involved with Epic UK and running the tournaments.
We've got some Tau.
Oh, he's off on one now, properly.
We've got Tau, Okami Technocracy combined. It's Tau!
They'll be gone for a while.
Yeah, but Tau, for Epic, without spending a fortune.
Yes, and they even have an army list.
Tau. They do, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if you go to...
I like the Tyranids.
Epic-UK.co.uk, you can get all your army lists up there.
I don't want to play this. But Tau.
So, because it's not an officially supported product anymore by GW, I take it any tournament that you go to, you can use any models for?
Yes. Actually, in the rulebook, and given this is a GW rulebook as well, this was quite odd to find. This is the official GW rulebook. It actually has the counts as rule. So, as long as you are consistent with your substitutions, so if you said, right, this lot of buggies with machine guns, they are sentinels, then that's fine. As long as you're consistent and as long as they take up roughly the same kind of footprint on the board, you're fine.
So they turned Epic into Hordes of the Things. Ever played that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we discussed this before.
We did.
And then I said...
You were wrong then as well.
I listened to the radio play, but I've never heard of the war game.
Do you want to say that again?
Not really.
Okay.
The
Tau!
You are such a whore for Tau.
I never bought any Tau. Tau, an epic Tau. Yeah. Forge World.
No, Forge World don't do any epic miniatures anymore.
They're not. They did a whole load of Tau, didn't they?
Nope. Well, not anymore, they don't.
They did.
Yeah, all the specialist games are gone from the GW website, or they're all gone from Forge World. Strangely enough, the PDFs are still on the Games Workshop servers for them. It's just that there's no page linking to them anymore. So everything like Blood Bowl, Necromunda, Mordheim, all the specialist stuff is now gone. Which is a little sad if I'm honest, but they kind of haven't been making money off for a while.
No.
There's
a lot of Epic on eBay, isn't there? I've just gone looking.
Not as much as there was. And the prices have generally gone up. I was trying to buy some Stormhammer tanks. The prices of those were getting a little bit silly for a model that size.
I used to have loads. I sold it all.
But again, Warhammer Trader is the one you want to speak to if you're looking for Epic.
Not so much. I mean, he is good for bits and pieces, but a lot of his stock, as he said on another podcast, I believe, Flock and All, when he was on there, his Epic was pretty much run straight through when GW announced they were stopping actually casting it.
Right.
So it was kind of a mixed day for him, because it's like, well, it's sad because Epic's going away, but it's good because I have all this valuable product and people are going to want to buy it.
He had all mine.
Yeah.
He had all my Eldar, my Tyranids, my everything I could find, Chaos. I had all of it. I have no Epic.
And he heard a ka-ching noise in the back of his mind as he took it off you.
Yep.
I do so.
In fact, when I bought a 40k Tyranids, he didn't be very proud while he did off me of the Tyranids.
I do somewhere have quite a few points of Epic Orcs hanging around, but goodness knows where they are.
No, I might be interested.
Fair enough. But yes.
We'll talk in private afterwards.
Yes. I don't know where they are is the problem. They're probably in the front room, but if you've ever seen the front room I have, you may know that that's more of a problem than people might think.
Well, if we can find them before the UK Games Expo.
What year?
This year.
That might be a problem. I've only got 6 weeks. I would have to take time off work, and that's just to get to the other side of the room. Anyway.
You'll be fine.
Yes. I have also, as part of my general gaming, played some High Command. I went down...
Did you on?
Yeah, I know. I went down to the Warsaw Warlords and offered to run demos for anyone who was interested. Played a couple of... Well, played, I think, 3 games in the evening. Now, when I got the original boxes for High Command... the original box, rather, the War Machine one. That was nice, but it felt like something definitely missing as I was playing. It didn't feel like it quite gelled. Now that I've got both Hordes and War Machine, and I've got an expansion for both, and you can sit there before the game and go, okay, I want these 3 detachments. Okay, it's kind of troop heavy. Well, if I just put in some more troop cards, take out some boosts into this one, and then change the resources around in this one, once you've got that little bit of flexibility and you can start changing things up, it becomes a very different game. It's much more tailored, and you've got decks that actually work together as you're playing. So, for instance, with Crix, I was playing the... what are they called? The Revenants. And they can start doing some crazy stuff if you've got multiple Revenants and a copy and Necromancy in your hand. Because, like, I bring this back at the graveyard, I play it over here, I kill some stuff. Right, that allows me to bring back another pirate over here and put that there and do this and move that over here. And you start getting a lot of very silly stuff happening all at once. Now, that's not happening for all the factions. But it is interesting where it's going as a game. I've just picked up the second expansion for Hordes, and I've got the second expansion for
Hordes. So I got Gantrin's one?
No, that's the third expansion.
Oh.
They have actually as well just announced another core box set, which is going to cover... what's it covering? It's got... Convergence.
Mercs.
It's got 2 factions of Mercs, because you've got the Lilith and 4-star and Retribution. That's it. So that's
there was a sneaky Retribution card that we've got. There's a picture floating around, so I wasn't online, and Chris. Yeah. Chris got rather excited about that.
Because you got a Kickstarter card for all the casters. But now they've announced that big box set, so weirdly, you've kind of got the Lilith faction, which is which actually has at least one new Warcaster in it, which is interesting. Because all the
new, as in never been seen in the game before.
Yeah, as in never been seen. It's called something like Celine or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head, to be honest, but I know she's brand new and different. So there's that, and then you've got your 4-star faction as sort of a different thing on its own. So it's sort of planning it nicely. And you've also then, on top of that, got the announcement of the I can't remember what it is. The Battle for Sol or something like that, like the campaign box. Which do either of you know about the mechanisms for?
No.
Essentially, the game runs
thanks
off.
Thanks for answering, Kurt.
Sorry?
Thanks for answering for me as well, there, Kurt.
No.
Fair enough. Essentially, the game runs off a clock that's provided by a deck called the Winds of War cards. And at a certain point, which is randomised in it, it will end the game.
Oh, sorry.
I'm actually quite interested.
Yeah. I'm quite interested.
Part of the deck, one of the cards in the last five will end the game. So you never, it keeps you guessing about when it's going to sort of get the scores totted up and find out who wins. Well, Battle for Sol actually introduces the first new one of those to the game. Now, every turn, this deck will provide different effects. So it might make troops cheaper, or it might say, there's rain, so you've got to pay extra this turn, or just little things like that. So having that to change up the game as well will make it a whole lot different. So it's interesting to see where PP are going to go with High Command. It's a very interesting system, and it looks like they're certainly ploughing into it headlong. By the way, tickets still on sale for UK Games Expo, just to remind people out there.
I'm a bit busy.
Well, you'll be playing the Masters, obviously. So.
Well, whatever it's called, the War Machine thing.
Yes, it's called the Masters, being a Masters tournament.
Is it? Good.
Yeah.
I'll be playing Pigs.
We had official confirmation and everything.
Good.
Currently we've sold
12
left tickets. To check 37 tickets
out of 64.
Yes.
Wow.
So we're getting there. It's good. I was hoping anything over 30 this year, because obviously there's been a growth of big events, and we're sandwiched this year in between MasterCon and the Welsh Open, and we can't change the dates for Expo, so it's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I've run out of hobby stuff.
I haven't played High Command. I'm quite interested to give it a go, so we can have a go at the Expo or Welsh Open.
I will happily give anyone a demo of High Command, because I've run through the thing that many times at this point. I'm convinced of it being good as a game. I know quite a few other people are as well. It's kind of just getting people back playing that's kind of the starting point, because a lot of people look at it and go, well, it's a new game. Well, I've got these perfectly good games over here.
It's not expensive to get into, though, is it?
No, not really. I think you can pick up one of the core boxes for about 25. And that's your core box set. If you want the expansion packs, they're about £11 or £12 each. But you can just buy Game in a Box, £25. Done. So, okay. I think unless there's anything else, it might be time to hand over to Alex to sign us out.
Nothing from me.
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
Well, you've been listening to Elite Cadre. It's a podcast. I've been Alex.
I've been Mike.
I've been Kurt.
Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye in distinct for the host.
Bye, Nick. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Elite Cadre, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. Email us at elitecadrepodcast@gmail.com. Find the whole team on Twitter at bit.ly/elitecadre. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/elitecadre. Music provided by Martin DeBont and Symphony of Spectres. This podcast is part of the Muse on Minis network. Find out more at museonminis.com.
Which one of us is, I can't remember which one was which. Which one of us is no ball?
No, that was Live and Kicking.
Oh, see, I didn't get it wrong.
You're thinking of Philip Schofield and...
Emma Green.
Sarah Green.
It was later on. It was Emma.
I want to say Thompson, but I know it's not.
No, it's what's the face? It's
the chef.
Daughter of Hunniford, wasn't it? Laura Hunniford's daughter, wasn't it? Keating, Karen Keating, wasn't it? The other one.
I think you're thinking of multicolored swap shop again, Kurt.
Probably. Quite possibly. Wasn't that Noel Edwards? Yeah, probably.
That Noel Edwards, really.
I like that line.
That
any
work.
Reference to Smith and Jones is always required.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, with that Noel Edwards. That was great.
Nice one. We're getting dangerously close to Flange and Baboons territory.
Flange and Baboons?
Have you not heard that one?
Wild was absolutely livid.
There we go. I just love the fact that that was a satirical comment, well, not a satirical comment, but a silly comment that was put in for one sketch and has now become an acceptable scientific term.
What's that?
A flange of baboons. There are serious scientific papers that have the collective form of baboons as a flange. And that amuses me deeply on many levels.
Should have been on Mel Smith's memorial, shouldn't it?
What, just a carving of a flange of baboons?
Well, just the word flange.
It is a very silly word.
It's a good word, I like the word.
Yeah.
So are we actually live?
Yeah. With your carving and sawing, yes.
Good God.
Welcome to Live Sawing with Alex Smith. Alex, what are you carving for us this week?
Well, you see, his foot's got gangrene, so he's just taking off the fleshy bits.
I've always wondered why my foot does hurt so much when I use the printing press.
No, you've lost me there.
I know. It's quite cool. Get down.
I just thought you'd have gone for the whole thing that whenever people have good ideas, the hook falls off.
What a good idea, my pet. Better be careful. Go and have ideas like that, your foot might fall off. Is that what happens when people have good ideas? Oh, yeah. My brother had this clever idea of cutting his toenails with a scythe, and his foot fell off. Oh, yeah.
And there you have it, folks. If you don't know where that came from...
Stop listening now.
Well, that, but... I've just after you stop listening, go and buy a copy of Blackadder.
I've been Alex. Like that. Good.
All four seasons of it.
Four and a bit. Four and a Christmas special.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of get the Christmas one. What was it? There was a Cavalier one as well, wasn't there?
And there was... Back and forth, which I'd advise you not to listen to.
So the Back and Forth has some decent bits in it.
No.
But I said bits. Individual jokes that are decent. No. However, the thing as a whole...
The only good jokes are the ones that make reference to the old jokes.
That's actually true. That's probably true. Also, anyway. Possibly the best ending for a comedy series ever with season 4.
Yes.
Which is, it's like, you're looking at this wonderful, silly, slightly surreal comedy series for the whole time, and then they end it with, and then people went over the top and were shot in the face. And, yep. Yeah.
No, I like how they ended with young ones, though. Am I going a bit too far for you?
Oh, I did know this,
but... What happened at the end of the last episode of Young Ones?
I can't remember.
They were all in a Cliff Richard-style double-decker bus, and they drove over a cliff.
Yeah. See, once you started saying the bus, I was like, oh, yeah, now I know what happens.
Right, what is...
But then how can two of them survive to go on and do Bottom?
I know, it's amazing. Well, it's, you know, the characters died, not the actors.
Yeah. Well, given that they died at the end of every Bottom live show as well...
I don't know, I ever saw one, but yes, I believe you. Ow!
The one where they're wrecked on marooned on a desert island was quite good. If only because I remember it sort of taking the mick out of the... remember the Keith Floyd cookery series?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's
when
a whole...
he's drunk permanently, but he's absolutely wasted all the time.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about him being caught by cannibals. It's like, ooh, look, Floyd on fire. And it's just like this wonderful, like, 2 or 3 little minute segment. But
where they're looking off camera, off stage at Floyd being eaten and cooked.
Yeah, exactly. It's utterly stupid and only appreciable by, like, you know.
Well, Bottom was always very good at looking off left or right of stage, even in TV series.
It was all set
out the window going, look at that! What's that crowd doing over there?
Yeah, it was all a stage production anyway. I mean, you could tell because it was just that set of, well, one, pants. Maybe two.
It was just one big pair of underpants.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed.
So are what are we going to talk about today, Mike? Sorry, from TV.
We could talk about the Winter Soldier. You seen that?
No. I tell you what I did see, Spider-Man 2. I really liked it.
I haven't seen it, but from all the trailers, they just make me go,
Better. It's better than it looks.
I've heard really, really mixed reviews about it.
I enjoyed it. I thought the way they did Electro was very, very good. Very different.
Electro, isn't it?
Electro, yes. Electro.
Electro rather than Electra. Yeah. I think my main problem with it is I have absolutely no attachment to Spider-Man as a character.
I can't say I have none. It's not the same as X-Men, but I can't say I have none.
I mean, I like the X-Men as a group. If when they take Wolverine out on his own, that's less interesting. But I like the X-Men as a group because they're interesting. I like the Avengers as a group. And they're interesting. Captain America on his own, brilliant. Thor, fine. Iron Man, great. Spider-Man, I can't summon up the. I mean, the first one of the new series that was surprisingly decent.
This is of a similar kind of. What was good about the first Andrew Garfield was it is a better film. So I'm going to get maimed by a Sam Raimi fans, and I am a big Sam Raimi fan. Sam Raimi made true to comic movies that were fantastic. Two of them at least.
Which two would you be talking about there, Chris?
Let me see. Not three. Let's just cut to the chase.
Are you getting rid of the one where he does that bizarre dance in the club?
Down the street, isn't it?
He does it down the street first, and then like into a jazz club, and it's so ridiculous.
I'm getting rid of the one where Venom is rubbish and turned poorly.
You mean the one where you could actually trim out all of Venom's scenes, and the film would still make as much sense?
Yep. Don't understand why they did that with Venom. Is an awesome character. I really like Venom. What is that, pants? So, in the same sense, so the Spider-Man 1 and 2. They're accurate to comics. The characters are well-rounded. Spider-Man 2 is a really good superhero movie. Amazing Spider-Man 1 is a better film. You could argue not as accurate to the comics. He spends a lot of time with Maskoff, but from a character engagement point of view...
I actually think you're right there. I actually think it is a better film. But then again, the whole thing of accuracy to comics, how many different reboots, restarts, changes, retcons, has almost every comic book that's been running for any length of time gone under?
True. Different writers, different ideas, different everything, yeah.
It's like the whole discussion of when Heath Ledger's Joker came about, and a lot of people said, it's a good performance, but it's not the Joker. And you're thinking,
it is.
Well, hang on. You're saying it's not the Joker, but which version of the Joker are you thinking of? I mean, it's definitely not the Cesar Romero Joker. It's definitely not the Mark Hamill Joker. But maybe it's one of these ones from the comics, because there have been about...
Maybe it's any time Frank Miller has got hold of the Joker. Oh, look, it's quite similar.
Frank Miller's just, he's a bizarre and weird man. Gifted. All his own. Mm. He certainly has opinions. Probably best to leave it at that.
He's written some awesome comics.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. I have a special soft spot in my heart for was it All-Star Batman that was his, wasn't it?
I don't know. Actually, don't know that one, I think.
That's the one set... Well, it's set before Dark Knight Returns and Strikes Again, but after Year One.
Okay.
It's meant to be the ridiculous middle segment of his career, and it is blatantly ridiculous. I mean, there is a point where he's sitting there. He's antagonized the Justice League for some reason, and...
The day had a Y in it, actually. I think that's what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Green Lantern turns up to deal with him, and Batman's like, "Yep, I'm going to be at this apartment at this time. Come and see me, and we'll sort it out." He turns up. The entire apartment, literally every single square inch of the place, is painted yellow.
Batman nice.
Is painted yellow. And just in the background, every so often, you see Robin walking across. It's like the first time he's eating a lemon. The next time he's drinking lemonade. Third time he goes across, it's with a yellow snow cone. I'm like, you're just taking the mick now. It's just a wonderful and stupid version that's... I'm never kind of sure whether it's fully aware of how stupid everything it's doing is.
I reckon it is, if it's Frank Miller.
Or if Frank Miller just wrote it straight. And it's kind of just, I'm never quite sure. And I'm really sad they didn't actually get a chance to finish it off before the New 52 rebooted the whole universe. Yeah, that was something I was excited about for a while and then kind of.
This is something bizarre, if the planet that I didn't buy and they did. Was there's a new X-Men, well, newish X-Men series where they take the original five X-Men, bring them forward in time to now, and go, go on and help us sort all this shit out. And they just are perplexed at the idiocy of modern times. As in, you get, I mean, 1960s original five.
That actually sounds really interesting.
I nearly bought three collections of it, but I resisted.
Do you know what the name of that series is?
No. Find out if I looked hard enough in a minute.
I think you might need to, because if you're taking multiple collections, that means it might be on Unlimited, which means I can actually just read it.
Okay.
Good.
It did look good. Artwork was nice.
Can we get a start?
Yes, we're boring Alex because we're talking about comics.
Well, we can talk about stories of a different kind. Alex is just here to listen to, you know, how kind of... emotionally attached we can get to stupid stories about ridiculous things. So I think it's appropriate we move on to a main topic. Hey!
Shall we start the podcast?
Yes, why not?
You're welcome for making your first half so much better.
Well, I've had the time
to... That quick little, like, sigh. The quick sigh from Mike, that was the best. That was totally worth it.
And Mike, you very nearly didn't do. We didn't do anything this evening, and then that's just awesome. Where's my phone gone?
In future, I will just post the YouTube link because there's no way the YouTube link can go wrong.
Really, post the YouTube link.
Did you post some kind of listen only Hangout link? Did you?
Well, no, he posted the Hangout link, so I just came right in. I could also do crazy stuff like turn on my camera. Apparently, say hi.
Ooh, at 0.5 frames a second.
Yeah, I can invite people?
You do, and I'll hit the eject button.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get ejected anyway.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. What are we discussing in the second half, lads? Come on.
I'm not sure. I'm just going to have to put you down for a second, though, because I think I heard him on the top of the stairs. He's been there for a while.
There we go.
I don't know what he said, because he just slowly started talking quieter. And
he was talking about some kind of children issue.
Oh.
Shush, you.
All I know is I only have one more quiver to put on these blood pack.
What?
One more quiver to put on these blood pack. And they're ready to play tomorrow.
Hey, we can hear him telling his child off. Get to bed.
His child is only 6 months older than Jordan?
I'm not interested in anything you have to say. Get to bed.
Hey, I'm almost legal to drink in the States. Almost. By that, I mean...
You've been legal to drink in the UK for about 3 years.
Two and a half. Yeah.
Two and a half. I was so far off.
You said three. Come on.
I did. I still think about episode...
I don't turn 21 until this summer. Next time I'm over there, we'll have to actually get a drink, by the way, Kurt.
Yes, definitely.
Instead of me being fucking stupid and running around like a maniac.
And meeting up with Nick, which...
Well, that was fun.
It was the Somewhat. First of your problems.
Hey, I had a good time.
Bye, Jordan.
Bye.
Get to bed.
It's been real.
Okay.
Do you want me to kick him out, or...
That was his subtle way of telling you to kick me out.
I believe the podcast has spoken. Goodbye, Jordan.
Goodbye.
Thanks for the weakest link. Bye.
Pardon?
I said, you're not the weakest link.
Oh, good.
Terrible.
Skipped a few decades again.
There we go. He's gone.
You shouldn't wait.
That was normal.
Mid-flow, mid-conversation.
I thought we just kind of picked up and carried on. It was good.
Yeah.
This blood pack is nearly glued. And there it is.
What's nearly glued?
Blood pack.
Well, I'm currently butchering a Leon Russ.
Full size or 6 mil?
Full size. It's our looted wagon.
Oh, God, you're doing
well. Oh, cool.
It's coming together quite nice, actually. I do quite... I like it. It's all right.
Maybe we could extend the painting table, but make it more of a sort of painting table and what are we playing at the moment?
Yeah.
Any games we've had recently? And...
That's good.
Oh, yeah, I know we kind of do that anyway, but...
I saw the new Robocop. Did I say that last time?
Yes, I think you did.
I think any I did. Good? I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I quite
it's
enjoyed
point, it. It's a very different point of view. Murphy is a smaller character.
Yeah.
Peter Weller has an awesome cameo. If you didn't spot it, you need a slap.
Sorry?
It's been a while since I've watched it, so...
Oh, did you watch February when it was out on cinema ticket?
Yeah.
It's out on Blu-ray in, like, June. It's really quick.
I wouldn't say that's particularly quick nowadays.
What was he in
Robocop? I was getting old.
What was he in Robocop, then?
Not ruining it.
Really
he was enough. One of the security guards right near the end on the roof.
Okay.
He has lines.
Is the eye buy that for a dollar in it or not?
Yep.
I do like how they used the original theme as well.
Yep. Good. But it's different. It was much more the corporate view, kind of corporate kind of perspective, rather than definitely took a step back from Murphy, I felt. Can I be asked to go gaming tomorrow night?
It also focused a little bit more on technology.
Yes.
Because kind of, Robocop was just, here's a policeman, oh, he's been shot. Here he is as a robot with some directives. Whereas this one was more, and here's how the technology works, and here's how it interfaces with the human, and here's how much of the human is still left. And it focuses a lot more on that aspect.
It was. I think that's what I mean. There was a lot more, it was almost more focused around OCP than it was around Robocop.
Is it up for spoilers anymore? Are the people who are interested already seen it? I mean, there's the whole thing about the colour of Robocop himself, which is interesting.
Yes.
Can we make him black?
Are you being racist now?
Not really.
How are you?
Quoting the film?
Don't know. It's come out on? Oh, no, we're not on Skype anymore, are we?
No.
Can we get a racial opinion? Yes, you're a racist. That's pretty much the end of that.
Right, should we, are people, you know, have they had their rest break and...
I think I can cope with the 10-minute segment that is the second half.
10-minute segment. Okay, let's go. There we go. And it's not even 11.
Good.
Wow.
Got a good couple of hours out of that, so... Yep, that's good.
Good.
As I said, it's a podcast.
Yes. But to be honest, at this point, it's like, it's the random burblings of three people on the internet.
Yeah.
More often not two, though.
Yeah, broadcasting with two is awkward.
Nobody's filling the gaps. That's what you find. Works better with three.
Yeah, you need at least one person. In the natural flow of conversation, you need at least one person to kind of step in and occasionally go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or, how about this other thing?
Lots of boobs.
Yeah.
So.
Boobs.
Yeah. I was actually quite surprised with the Epic stuff. If you go to the non-official places, some of the prices, because I bought those figures from Backers. I got 96... Well, I've got some like 270 British troopers going to me. Each 96 is about £7, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
People wonder why old men have mounds and mounds, or cabinets and cabinets full of historical miniatures.
Yeah, because historical miniatures are really bloody cheap.
Well, it's not. You don't have to pay for IP. You have to pay for someone to concept sketch.
That is.
You don't have to pay for someone to write fluff. You don't. Coming back to a conversation we were having earlier on.
Yes, I suppose. But at the same point, if you look at something like Bolt Action or Flames of War, you do still get that concept sketch. You do still get, certainly with Bolt Action, you do get fluff, because that is Rick Priestley, Paul Sawyer, someone else as well, writing the fluff for the game. They do take historical texts, but they do write their own version of it. Actually, out of interest, did either of you listen to the series of podcasts that Fool's Daily did with Rick Priestley recently?
Nope.
No.
It's a good listen. It's Conrad and Rick Priestley sitting down to discuss Gates of Antares, which is Rick Priestley's new sci-fi system for Warlord.
Is this that one that was kickstarted a while ago and then died?
It was removed from Kickstarter by Rick Priestley halfway through. Because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I remember.
But now it's come back with there's a small range of figures for it, and he's looking at that is a very weird sound.
Because I've been trying to book to a room in the Mauldron on a few occasions, and the Friday night at the Welsh Open is booked out until I go on Expedia to go today, and I can fucking book it. I'm fucking gonna.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But no, Rick Creek.
Four left.
Interesting conversation we had briefly over about an hour and a half. You can listen if nothing else, because he does talk about basically it's a vitriolic rant about 40k. For half of it. They're going, well, yes, I felt that in 40k first edition, it was a very narrative game and it was quite fun. You could kind of fight with your mates and you didn't have to worry about points or anything like that. And then it just talks increasingly about how 40k has become more and more of a roll a die to see who dies kind of thing, and it's not about the fluff anymore. And they've had to spoil his universe by making any army able to fight any other army. That was one of his great problems. It's like, these models should not be fighting these models. They're at different ends of the universe. I mean, that's just crazy. And just, okay, I've just destroyed one of my blocks. That's nice.
Well done.
And he was really kind of up in arms about this. Oh, actually, no, I haven't destroyed my blood pack. I've just knocked it off its base. That's actually quite sturdy. Stuff on it and be fine. Actually, he's still got both arms on it and the quiver and the head. That's impressive.
I think it may be time for a new blade, boys.
Well, judging by the noises you're making, yes. Unless you're using a hacksaw.
No, definitely need blade tempered, isn't it?
So what exactly are you doing to this Lehman Russ? Just kind of hollowing it out, or...?
No, I'm...
Hollowing it out for squirrel in winter.
At the minute, I am trying to fashion a sort of... it's not... You wouldn't go as far as calling it a ram, battery ram, or anything of that nature. But a forward glyph plate, shall we say.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah, I'll try and put some pictures up on Twitter when I've finished for the evening.
And now, in a world of perfect production and seamless transitions, we bring you the chaos that lurks beneath the surface. These are the Easter eggs.